Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
So, as more and more of us, our personal and professional lives are based online, we're under increased threat of cyber attacks. But what's it like for the people and the companies at the coalface of cybersecurity in Ireland? And I'm delighted to be joined by three cybersecurity veterans in as it looks to me here. I'm delighted to be joined from Cork by Raluca Sechanu. She's the Chief Executive Officer of SmartTech 247. Gary Melvin, Security and Compliance Director at Nostra, is also with us, as is Pat Larkin, the President of Echo Security and the Chairperson of Cyber Ireland. Raluca, I might start with you. Maybe tell us a little bit about your company 24/7 and what it does, and then we look at, I suppose, the more general cybersecurity matters.
Of course. Thank you for having me today. SmartTech 247 is a cybersecurity organization that specializes in managed detection and response. We help secure some of the world's largest companies from cyber threats. We are constantly on the front lines of cybersecurity. And we were recently recognized by Gartner as a 2024 MDR vendor in their latest guide. We're listed on the London Stock Exchange, and we have plans now to expand our operations further into the Middle East, US, and Switzerland.
And you're a big organization, turnover north of what, 40 million?
No, we are about 15 million in revenue, and we're about 220 people globally.
Excellent. Okay, well, stay with us, Raluca. Let's talk to Gary Melvin, Security and Compliance Director at Nostra. Gary, you're very welcome to the program. Tell us a little bit about Nostra, and then we'll get into the wider cybersecurity discussion.
Thanks, Bobby. Pleasure to be here. So Nostra are HQ'd out of Dublin, so we're what's called a managed service provider who do outsourced IT for probably up to nearly 1,000 customers throughout Ireland. So we have three branches, one in Dublin, and then we have Galway, and we recently opened a new Cork office as well. So I suppose what we do is we fully manage the organization's IT day-to-day needs, but we also do the security then as well as that. So
okay.
A full security offering.
Okay, and Pat Larkin, President of Echo Security and Chairperson of Cyber Ireland. You're very welcome to the programme, Pat.
Thanks, Bobby.
Tell us a little bit about yourself first, and then, as I say, we'll open the wider discussion.
Yeah, so President of Echo Security, which is part of the Echo Group. It's an Irish business, about 1,000 people, offices in Ireland, UK and Netherlands. Prior to that, I was Chief Executive of Ward Solutions, who were acquired by Echo nearly 3 years ago as part of their Security First Cloud Managed Services business. And I'm also, as you say, Chairperson of Cyber Ireland, so representing the cyber industry as well.
Okay. So if we stand back then and have a look at cybersecurity, we're seeing, you know, increased attacks. We're seeing it becoming a real issue for all businesses. Is it one part of these type of things that you don't really appreciate until you have a problem? A bit like insurance. You don't like paying it, but you're glad to pay it if something comes over the hill.
Yeah, I think there's two different organizations that really and philosophies towards cybersecurity. There's that philosophy, which is very much it's a cost of doing business, it's compliance. You appreciate it exactly when you have a cyber incident, whether it's an attack or an outage. I think increasingly because of the nature of the spend that you now have to make in cybersecurity. So typically it's now anywhere between 9% and 20% of your IT budget. Organizations up to 1,000 people in an organization are spending about 1.8 million. Beyond that, they're spending up to 18 million per annum on cybersecurity. So that level of investment means that, like, doing business in an increasingly digital economy means that you really need to approach it from an enablement perspective, which is if you're going to innovate, if you're going to do business with partners in supply chain, et cetera, you need to take this to prove your credentials and prove your trustworthiness. So there is the very much keep it in the reserve for an incident, or there is take it as an approach for enablement of your business.
Yeah. Raluca, can you help us maybe identify who these cyber criminals actually are? Like, are they organizations like other businesses with HR departments and people chasing down sales opportunities? Like, how organized are they? And maybe just share with us, a little bit of information as to who these people are that want to hack our computers.
Yes, of course. It's a good term to use. They are part of an organized crime element. So when you're looking at, for example, these ransomware groups, you need to know that they behave like any other business. They've got multiple departments handling, for example, data, handling malware code. They've got different departments handling the extortion tactics. They've got customer service. They've got human resources as well. Similarly to how legitimate organizations are run, they also have initiatives, diversity initiatives as well, which is the latest that we've seen on the dark web. I mean, it's a very lucrative business. It's a $10 trillion industry, and they're constantly innovating. They're using automation. They're using artificial intelligence as well. And all they want is to make their attacks better and faster.
Yeah. And would I be right in saying then that so you could have one organization that might target you to get your data, and then that might be sold to another group of criminals that would come at you using this data? So could you be dealing with multiple criminals here that aren't even connected to each other?
Correct. So if you take into consideration, for example, a large ransomware gang, one area of their attack chain, for example, could be that they are buying initial access from another or from another organization. And then they could be paying that organization, whatever sum they might be paying for initial access. And then they take that and they bring into another layer of the organization who will be exploiting that, either the credentials or whatever they're buying. And then someone else is responsible to hack in, and then someone else is responsible to deploy the malware, and then they pass it on to other groups to conduct the extortion tactics. But they are very much interconnected. They're operating really well. The operations are very effective. But if you think that this is one person sitting in their basement, which is something that a lot of
with a laptop, then it's way bigger than that.
That's not the case anymore. This is organized crime. This runs like a full blown operation,
right?
And very similar to how a business is run.
Okay, Gary Melvin, Security and Compliance Director at Nostra. With the type of attacks that Raluca is talking about there, the importance of backup and access to your backup. So given that if a cyber attack actually happens, the ability to be able to hold what you have, in other words, that's obviously critical, so that at least you can start again, or you can start with, well, there'll be some disruption, at least you haven't lost everything.
Yeah, at least you have a point to go back to. So one of the things, the way cybersecurity has changed over the last couple of years, is that the ransomware attackers now, or the cyber criminals, will actually not only encrypt your data, but they'll exfiltrate your data. So they'll actually take copies of your data. So when you get a ransomware note now to say that you've been attacked and they're looking for a payment, they'll also threaten to release your data online. So the most important thing you can have is what's called immutable backups. That means backups can't be changed and they can't be deleted.
Right.
Backups of 2 to 3 years ago would have been able to. So the first thing the attackers will do is, once they get a foothold on the network, is to get complete control of the network. But they will attack the backups first to try and delete them, so you don't have a recovery point.
I see.
So your type of backup is just as important as the backup.
So having backup devalues. Like if they know you have backup, you can only be, I suppose, pushed so hard.
You can only push so hard, and then it comes down to reputation. So they will threaten to release that they have your details. They're going to and there is a sites online on the dark web that has multiple companies' details and saying this company was breached on such a date. This is a copy of all their data.
Yeah.
So and that changed because everything in terms of cybersecurity, the good guys are trying to lock stuff down. The immutable backup meant that you could actually recover and you were guaranteed to be able to recover. And now the cyber criminals actually take your data, publish it online, and they will actually go out and talk to the local media as well to look to publish. So they hit you with a ransomware demand.
Yeah.
But it's twofold. It's one, we'll give you the keys. So they encrypt it, which is an encryption key. We'll give you the key back for a price, but then we won't publish your data is the second fold. So as we get better on the cyber and the protection side, they change their tactics.
I see.
Yeah. And that's one of the big things about it. It's ever evolving.
Pat, there's a, I suppose, a stereotypical type of scenario where, excuse me, where if a business gets hacked, they're embarrassed, they're fearful of their reputation, they may have clients that are implicated, customers, staff, and this sort of public humiliation, which I think many businesses fear. Do we need to culturally maybe change that? That, you know, that you really, obviously you do your best to protect. Nobody wants to be hacked, but, you know, I feel that there's a stigma around it that makes people feel less than they should feel.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the industry has been arguing for a long time a couple of things. One is to stop victim blaming because it is a crime. You know, most organizations are trying to do their best, you know, and there is no 100% bulletproof security. Absolutely not. So this is a crime. And the pressure that's on organizations is like empirically a public organization that's hacked. It's demonstrated that they can lose upwards of 8 to 10% of their share price as a result of that.
So, and the rest, I'd say.
Yeah. And you know, for the organizations that survive that, okay, it may recover provided they handle the incident appropriately within about 6 to 12 months. But a number of businesses do not recover from incidents. So there's a couple of things. You've got to stop victim blaming. You've got to look at the bona fides of the business in terms of, you know, the behavior and their approach to cybersecurity. And, you know, if there's certifications or accreditations that they have that would demonstrate that they're doing the right stuff. And then I suppose collaboratively, you know, policing organizations, international policing, plus industry, plus organizations need to work together much more in a coordinated fashion to actually take on these. Because a number of the criminals, no more than they are, you know, it's a large criminal ecosystem. In a lot of cases, they're getting benign and in some cases active support from geopolitical states, from state agencies. So you're not just fighting criminal organizations. And as Maluka aligned, it's the third largest criminal economy in the world. It's larger than illicit narcotics right now. That's how lucrative it is. And that's how much R&D and resources are going into it. And then it is state-backed, given the geopolitical circumstances that are happening here. So there's a couple of things. Stop victim blaming, you know, take a best practice approach to your information security. The watchword has changed to resilience. You know, it used to be defend, protect, react, respond. It's now resilience.
Yeah.
Not only do you need backups, but even if you have backups, immutable backups, your recovery time in some cases could be 6, 8, 10 weeks, 6 months, 12 months, in which case for a number of businesses, that's lights out.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of loss of revenue and all of that sort of stuff. So I think, you know, philosophically, collectively, we need to change our approach here, which is this is a crime.
Yeah. Well, look, when we think of cyber attacks, we think of, you know, the HSE and big business and, you know, banks and that kind of thing and, you know, people trying to scam cash. But what about the, you know, the small SME employing, you know, say 6 solicitors or 5 accountants or those type of small businesses that have IT, that depend on IT, and that may not think that they could be targeted?
Well, I think that's a great point because one of the things that we keep hearing from organizations that have been targeted, regardless of their size, is to a certain degree, the fact that they can't believe that they've been hacked. Why would someone be interested in their organization? They're a small organization. But the reality is that anyone can be a victim these days. And the more embedded you are in the supply chain, the higher the chances that you will be attacked. So, for example, a small office, a legal office, could be dealing with very large transactions. They could be dealing with large organizations. And to a certain degree, they may not be the direct target of these attacks. But again, they sit in the supply chain of larger organizations. And what we're seeing these days is, you know, if you look at a whole, the most targeted industries so far are, of course, the big technology sector, manufacturing. And the manufacturing sector, some organizations may not be, again, that large, but they're still a good target because they cannot afford any disruption. And then we've got the healthcare sector, which has a lot of data, a lot of personal data that is very valuable on the dark web. So anyone can be a target. And what I have seen is that most organizations do make investments in cybersecurity. I mean, it's a huge industry at the moment. But the problem is that sometimes these investments are not performed all the way through.
So they and again, I suppose like most businesses are investing in technology at some level, regardless if you're a retailer or a manufacturer or whatever. But with that, there has to be, as Pat said, some sort of pro rata investment in protecting yourself, regardless of your technology.
The problem that we're seeing is actually, you know, people are investing in best of breed technologies, but they have inconsistent coverage.
Yeah.
So they're investing in the best technologies out there, you know, technologies like Palo Alto Networks and IBM technologies and CrowdStrike and so forth. The problem is that these technologies are not enough on their own. They need tuning. They need to be correlated. They need management. It's like investing in CCTV, but pointing the cameras at the ceiling or the roof.
Right.
You know, you, for example, we've been providing emergency incident response to a few organizations, and that had suffered ransomware attacks, unfortunately. And they did have the best of breed tools in place, but they were not patched. Their passwords were not changed in years. The tools didn't cover the entire estate. So it's not that organizations are not investing. It's just that they don't fully appreciate the extent that they have to go.
Yeah, and using their investment correctly,
correct.
Managing their investment. Gary, when we come back to, I suppose, staying ahead of these people, staying ahead of these criminals as IT people and as cyber specialists, what strategies do you embark on to make sure that you're ahead of the game? Or how do you, it seems to me to be a fairly difficult and challenging task to stay ahead of these people.
Yeah, I suppose, first of all, it comes down to doing the basics well first. So there's a lot of organizations that probably don't do the basics well. So it's making sure the basics are done well and that the endpoints are secured, that we have coverage across, as we said earlier, across every endpoint, that there's no open doors or open windows. It comes down to the user in most cases. So last week's outage will come back to a user making a mistake, rolling out an update that wasn't fully tested, but the users are being targeted. So the technology is put in place, but sometimes then the users are actually being targeted. So it's actually an education piece around the users, and that's probably multiple fold. So it's educating the management to make sure there's a separate cyber plan in place. So in terms of IT management and cybersecurity, they're two different things.
Right.
And it's if you're just doing your IT management, which is keeping your lights on, changing your day-to-day administration, keeping everything going, but beside that, you need a cyber plan. And you need to know, where is my critical data? How is it protected? We see a lot of stuff with cloud. There's a lot of functionality in cloud services, but again, it's not always turned on. So it's making sure that we kind of look at, where is our critical data sitting? How do we protect our critical infrastructure? And then making sure all that's turned on. So there's a bit to it, but the The technology is there to do it, but it does require a separate plan. And actually just to step back away from the organization and say, how could I be attacked? Where's my weaknesses? And then putting a plan in place.
Yeah. Pat, in terms of, I suppose, where we go from here, then, I appreciate all the advice that you've given, but where the industry itself is going to continue to grow, I presume, as crime grows. So, you know, you're in one sense luckily in a market that is growing, which is always a good place to be from a business perspective. But, you know, when we saw out, just like we saw last week, are we over-dependent now on, have we got to a point where we're almost over-dependent, as a society on technology? In other words, we're vulnerable for these mass shutdowns.
Yeah, I think you're not going to stop digital progress. Absolutely not. You know, like Technology Ireland estimates that the digital economy in Ireland is worth $50 billion annually. So you're not going to impede digital progress, and you've got to take a reality check to say, you know, look at all the progress societally and commercially and economically that we've made. I think what you need then is continuous innovation. So it's an arms race. You're continually looking to try and innovate to protect against the innovating cyber criminals. And if you look at what will happen with the industry and the specific outage that you're referring to, I think a number of people, CrowdStrike first and foremost, obviously Microsoft secondly, will look and evaluate. There is something. It wasn't an attack, but it was an information security incident, clearly, because it led to mass unavailability. So it is an information security event. So you'll find those organizations specifically will then look and see, you know, the change of practice in terms of out of patches, etc. But if you look at the challenge, this was done from a good place, because, you know, one of the things that an organization like CrowdStrike and other providers do is they're trying to minimize the exposure time. So where a vulnerability is identified, you've got a very narrow window to try and plug that hole. Otherwise, there's mass exploitation of it and then mass criminal events. So you will find that the industry itself collectively needs to continuously innovate.
Okay.
And to improve and to learn from its lessons. And one of the things that Cyber Ireland are saying from an Irish perspective to try and capture this global opportunity is one of the things that Ireland Inc. needs to do is have a national cyber campus where R&DI is the center point for that. And we can bring all of that to our indigenous and our foreign direct clients here to enable Ireland to become one of the key players in the cybersecurity industry globally.
Well, look, it's a fascinating subject, and thank you for enlightening me. Raluca Sakino, Gary Melvin and Pat Larkin, thank you all for your contribution, and wishing you continued success. Thank you again.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thanks,
Bobby. Thank you very much.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.